Dear devotees, we know that bhakti is the only way of reaching God. Bhaktirevainam nayati, bhaktirevainam pasyati, bhaktirevainam darshayati, bhakti vashah purusho, bhaktireva bhuyasi. Ved tells us that bhakti is the only thing that can join a soul with God. There is no other way. But bhakti has to be practiced properly. Are there not millions of people practicing bhakti in the world? How many of them are attaining God? Have we not practiced bhakti for our whole life and many lifetimes before this, and yet we're not God realized? So we have to understand what is the correct practice of bhakti. So for that, we can understand 10 characteristics of true bhakti, and specifically raganuga bhakti. Number 1. Mana eva manushyanam karanam bandhamokchayoh. This statement comes in many different sections of Ved, in our Puranas, and in other scriptures as well. And it means that mind alone is the cause of bondage and liberation.
Cetah khalvasya bandhaya muktaye chatmano matam.
In the Bhagavatam it says that mind alone is the cause of bondage and liberation. And Shri Krishna explains,
Vishayan dhyayatashchittam vishayeshu visajjate mamanusmaratashchittam mayyeva praviliyate.
He tells in the Bhagavatam, it's very simple. You get whatever you attach your mind to. So if you attach your mind to me, you'll attain me. Attach your mind in the world, you'll attain the world. Of the millions of people doing bhakti, how many people know this first point? Ki bhakti man se karni hai. Almost nobody. Everybody's doing bhakti with their hands, with their mouth, singing shlokas or doing paath, using their hands for puja, arati, using their feet to go visit holy places and go to temples, using their head to bow down. And the whole time the mind is staying purely attached in the world. And then they ask, I've been doing devotion to God my whole life and my anger keeps increasing, my stress keeps increasing. Why? Is bhakti not working? You're not even doing bhakti because you're not attaching your mind to God. So this is the first and most important shart. Condition of bhakti. It must be done with the mind. It means your mind must be engaged in remembering God. Not just a physical formality is considered bhakti. The mind has to be attached to God, like your mind is attached to your mother, father, husband, wife, friends. Your mind has to be attached to Shri Krishna in that way. Only then it counts as bhakti. So that's number one. I think you'll all remember that. The mind must do bhakti. Number two. Let's again go to the Bhagavatam.
Lakshanam bhakti yogasya nirgunasya hyudahritam ahaitukya vyavahita ya bhakti purushottame.
There's some lakshana of bhakti described in this shloka. First, nirguna and ahaituki. So, Naradji says,
guna rahitam, kamana rahitam, pratikshana vardhamanam, avichhinnam, sukshmataram, anubhavarupam,
Narad Bhakti Darshan. So, this is like A and B of the same characteristic, but we're counting it as two separate ones. So we'll have number two. Number one was Bhakti is done with the mind. Number two, ahaituki. Number three, nishkamta. So here in Bhagavatam, it's stated nirguna. And Naradji says guna rahit. That means not loving the beloved for their qualities. Remember yesterday, during the explanation of Shivratri, I told the story of Parvati and how Saptarshi had come to test her love for Bhagwan Shiv and told her that he can't give you anything to make you happy. He himself has nothing. Unka bhagya itna kharab hai ki theek se kapde bhi nahi pehen sakte, ghar nahi hai unka. So why would you marry him? And Parvati said, I'm not marrying him for what he can give me. I just love him. That's it. He's mine. This is ahaituki prem. If you have a condition or a reason for your love, then love will never be stable. It will not continue to grow. Because let's say your condition is God always fulfills my every wish. He loves me so much. When I pray to him, he gives me whatever I want. But we all undergo ups and downs in this world. So when we get something we don't like, then we'll think, oh, God is ignoring me. He's not listening to my prayers. So this is why this melds in with number three, you'll see. So anyway, we shouldn't, even though initially someone might start loving Shri Krishna because saints have said his beauty is uncountable times greater than Kamdev. Okay, we can start there, that's okay. But eventually, we should desire to even transcend that and feel like it doesn't matter how beautiful Shri Krishna is, he alone is mine. So even if he wasn't beautiful, I would love him. Nothing can ever happen to his beauty. He never gets old. Nonetheless, our devotion should be like Bhishma. See, it's not just looks or qualities, but even behavior. Shri Krishna picked up the wheel of the smashed chariot, a big chariot wheel, and he ran towards Bhishma Pitamaha to kill him. Bhishma Pitamaha's reaction was not, what? My Ishtadev is turned against me? He's coming to kill me? How can this be? No, he said, oh, look at this janki of my beloved Krishna. His teeth are gritted together, his brow is furrowed, his eyes are red, and his pitambara is fluttering as he runs, ready to throw this at me. Shri Krishna saw the look on Bhishma Pitamaha's face, like he's enraptured seeing this scene of Shri Krishna rushing towards him to kill him, and it stopped him in his tracks. What's he looking at? And Bhishma Pitamaha, after Arjun shot him with the arrows and he was lying on his bed of arrows, for months he did Rup Dhyan of that Janki of Shri Krishna. Imagine how many people's love will increase if their beloved scolds them, gets angry with them, throws something at them. Bhishma Pitamaha had such ahaituki prem, even when Shri Krishna was coming at him in that way, his love only grew. So true devotion to God is not dependent upon the behavior of our beloved, nor is it dependent upon his qualities. So we should aspire for this, even if we're not at that stage right now, it's okay. We should understand that this is a characteristic of true bhakti and aspire for that. Now, another way of understanding this, we'll make it number three, is total nishkamta. Kamana rahitam, Naradji says. Rup Goswami says, anya bhilashita shunyam jnana karmadhyanavritam anukulyena krishnanushilanam bhaktirut. He's also telling characteristics of devotion. So he says, anya abhilasha shunyam. No other desire but the desire to serve Shri Krishna for his happiness. So what are the other desires? Really two, bhukti and mukti. Bhukti means you pray to Shri Krishna and you ask him for the world. Totally varjit in bhakti. No asking him for the world. That is not devotion at all. No asking for help with health, wealth, job, family, sickness, boss, job, stress. All these things we ask him for, they're all our doing. We can do it or undo it. Or it's our prarabdha and we suffer it accordingly. It has nothing to do with God's grace. It's merely our own actions and the consequences of those actions that bring all of our worldly situations to bear. We did the actions, we have to undergo the results, good or bad. So when these things are locked in, if we then go to God asking him to change these material situations, and he won't, but we believe he will, then if we ask for something that happens to be in alignment with our prarabdha, we'll get it and we'll say, Jai ho, jai ho, I went to Vaishno Devi and asked for this and I got it. She's so great. And then we happen to ask for something later that is not in alignment with what's in our prarabdha, then we don't get it. Then we say, oh, Bhagwan, Bhagwan, kuch nahi hota hai. Hamari kuch nahi sunte. In other words, we lose faith in God. So this is a completely, we have no adhar for that kind of devotion. Proper adhar means we have to have a solid base of knowledge for our devotion. And part of that is understanding that these material things have nothing to do with God's grace. God is already gracing us by giving us the consequences of our karma. So he's going to give us that. No less, no more. He's not going to make adjustments based on the fact we spent 5 minutes praying to him, asking him to help us with something. Or we did 1,000 rounds of jap as some kind of payment. Like, I'll do 1,000 rounds and you give me this, okay? Is he really that easy to buy off? In fact, he's even easier. All we have to do is surrender our mind, right? But we don't do that, and instead we try to buy him with these physical things. So part of it is never ask for bhukti. Never ask God for any worldly thing. Don't even ask him to help you if you're standing on death's doorstep. Say, death, let death come and take me. I'm not asking Shri Krishna for anything. Above and beyond this is mukti. If people don't ask for the world, then they're asking for liberation. But this is also a selfish desire. Although it's not asking for the world, it's saying, I don't want this suffering. I don't want to be born in this world anymore. Free me from this. So we're still not asking God for God. We're not saying, Shri Krishna, I want to meet you. We're just saying, free me from this worldly existence. This is also a selfish desire. The one who asks for bhukti or mukti does not receive the best thing, which is prem. So we have to understand the goal is to receive Shri Krishna's divine vision, to get a divine body, divine senses, divine mind, and be able to see him and experience the divine bliss with all 5 of our senses. We'll receive his prem, his divine love. Sara, you should also be taking notes. Come and sit. No talking. The topmost goal is God's love. But if we ask for bhukti or mukti, we will not receive his divine love. His prem. So this is a very important condition of true devotion. Don't ask for bhukti, don't ask for mukti, and ask for prem for this reason, that only having received prem can we serve Shri Krishna. Before that, with what will we serve him? For now, he allows us to do devotional service as a way of purifying our heart, as a way of connecting with him. But true service to him begins after receiving his prema. So we should desire his prema for the goal of serving him for his happiness. This is the highest form of devotion. So now we've covered three of the conditions. Number one, devotion is done with the mind. Number two, we should be ahaituki, which means our love for him should be unconditional. And number three, we should never ask him for bhukti or mukti. We should only ask him for his divine vision and his divine love in order to serve him for his happiness. Your happiness is included in that. You get the highest happiness of all when you desire to serve him selflessly. When you desire to serve him for his happiness, you get the greatest happiness of all. The highest attainment of the divine world. Because remember, however you desire to love and serve him, he desires to love and serve you in the same way. So if you want the closest relationship with Sri Krishna, be selfless and desire for his happiness. Number four. In the Bhagavatam it says, Avyavahit, and Rup Goswami says, Jnana Karmad Dhyanavritam. What this means is that bhakti is supreme and doesn't require the affiliation of any other path or practice. Bhakti can be practiced alone, leaving all other practices. Bhakti alone can be practiced. Let me give you an example. Let's say up until now, somebody has been following the rules of, and keep in mind I'm telling you about Raganuga Bhakti. So let's say someone has been following the rules, the karmakand of the Vedas, while doing devotion to God. This is called Vaidhi Bhakti. So a lot of rules like how to dress and how to sit, facing what direction, what mantra to say, in what order, do pranayam. It's like a very regulated way of doing devotion. But Raganuga Bhakti is free from all of these limitations or regulations of Vedas. In Raganuga Bhakti we say, all you have to do is remember God. If your mind is in God, you've already accomplished the goal of having all of these regulations in place. So you're not bound by those. In Raganuga Bhakti, the question is your love for Sri Krishna increasing? Don't forget him. Always keep your mind in him. This is Raganuga Bhakti, and this devotion is supreme. This alone unites a soul with God. So what I mean to say is, if someone is practicing Raganuga Bhakti, they can abandon the restrictions of all other paths. You can do Raganuga Bhakti any time of the day, any place, sitting in any position. That doesn't mean to abandon common sense. What I mean by that is, obviously it's helpful to have a routine and practice your devotion according to some kind of schedule so that you get in the habit of doing it every day. And obviously it makes sense to sit alertly when you're doing devotion so you don't fall asleep. And it makes sense to do devotion in a place where you're not going to be disturbed. But what I mean is, there's no hard and fast rule. Like, you have to be sitting in this type of place. It has to be at this time of day. None of those rules apply. Although you may do some yoga asanas or pranayam for health, that is not supplementing bhakti. That's good. If it's good for your health, it's good for your mind, and that's good for your devotion. But bhakti is not dependent on that. That's what it means. That is dependent on bhakti. The bhakti is the main thing. Bhakti ke upar kuch nahi havi hona chahiye. So the rules of vaidhi bhakti do not overpower raganuga bhakti. Raganuga bhakti is first. All these other rules, yadi wo hamari bhakti ke anukul hai, tab theek hai. Anukul nahi hai, to chhodo. That's what Shri Krishna means by sarvadharman parityajya mamekam sharanam vraj. Leave all the other practices and just come to me. It means just attach your mind to me, leaving everything else. So, the one on the path of devotion understands the supremacy of devotion. That devotion is first and foremost. Nothing else decides devotion. If it's helping your devotion, you can add it in. You can adopt it. You can continue to do it. If it becomes an obstacle in your devotion, abandon it. Just like, okay, I have to do this many rounds on jap beads. And someone says, but when I count, it distracts me from doing rup dhyan. It distracts me from absorbing my mind in thinking of Radha Krishna. So if I abandon this practice of jap, which is told in various scriptures, so is that bad? No, it's not bad. Wo bhakti mein badha ho gaya? Chhodo usko, tyag kar do. This is what I mean by bhakti is supreme and independent. Other practices, like maybe at certain times you may have to, for social reasons, observe certain Vedic rituals, like on the death of a family member, for instance, you're not bound to if you're doing Raganuga Bhakti. You're free from all of those practices. But you might do it because if I don't, my family, my friends are going to think I'm being disrespectful to the one who's passed away. So you do it to maintain harmony in the family so that those things don't become obstacles for you. But it's not required for the one practicing Raganuga Bhakti. So there's no interference of yoga, gyan, or karma in the path of bhakti. If you're doing Raganuga Bhakti, those are all subservient. If there's something you add in because it's favorable to your devotion, great. But there's no compulsion to adopt any of the practices of karma, yoga, or gyan. So that was the fourth condition. Can we review? What was the first one? Okay, second one? Or third one? Okay, and fourth one? Bhakti is independent. Swatantra. Okay, the next one. In the path of Raganuga Bhakti, we do not love God. Yeah, that's the simplest way to say it. Why not? Because you can't love God. God is so great. He is supreme. Would a beggar ever dream of marrying a prince or a princess? No. The beggar realistically thinks, I'll marry another beggar. Someone who matches with me. Why would the prince or the princess ever look towards me? So there's no real hope of connection for that beggar with such a great personality. Similarly, when Arjun saw Shri Krishna's almighty form on the battlefield, in other words, he showed, I'm God. Now see me. Was Arjun thinking, oh, my beloved Krishna? No. वो कांप रहे थे. Hey, Bhagwan, galti ho gayi. Yeah, he asked, drashtumichhami te roopa maishwaram purushottama. I want to see your aishwarya roop. So he showed him his almighty godly form. Then he said, disho na jane na labhetcha sharma prasid devesh jagannivas. Please be pleased. Prasanna de, prasanna ho. Enough. I've seen enough. I want to see you as my friend again. So you can be in awe of God, but the same God, that Shri Krishna, that almighty aspect of his personality is only a tiny fraction of who he is. The rest of who he is his loving, playful, lila-dhari self. So we love Shri Krishna. We don't love God. Not wrong to love God, but in Raganuga Bhakti, we use four bhav to do what? To take the godliness out of God. So, quickly, because aap log sab samajhdar hain, you know, dasya bhav, loving God as a master, and I'm his servant. So now he's not just God for you, you're his direct servant. But closer than that is sakya bhav. Now, God is nowhere to be found. He's your friend, jigri yaar, your best buddy. Then, okay, honge bhagwan apne ghar ke, again, wo mera dost hai. Ye raganuga bhakti hai. This is what sets raganuga bhakti apart from vaidhi bhakti. In vaidhi bhakti, there's a fear that if I don't worship, I'll be punished. If I don't follow all these rules, I'll be punished. In raganuga bhakti, there's no fear. There's just love. So part of that is adopting one of these four bhav to remove this bhagavata from Bhagwan and just have him be your own. So you have dasya bhav, you have sakya bhav, the next one, vatsalya bhav, he's your son. Now there's definitely no bhagavata remaining. If he's your son, you scold him, you put him to bed, you wake him up, you bathe him, you dress him, you feed him, you console him, you love him, you give him affection. He desires to get into your lap. Now the tables are actually turned. Instead of the soul crying to get into Shri Krishna's lap, Shri Krishna is crying to get into the soul's lap. This only happens through Raganuga Bhakti and Madhuri Bhav, which you heard about during the description of Maharas when I was telling about Ras Panchadhyayi, that Madhuri Bhav of the gopis includes Vatsalya, Sakhya, Dasya Bhav, and includes much, much more sweetness as well. So we love Shri Krishna through one of these four bhav in Raganuga Bhakti. This means that there's a deep emotional attachment. The mind has to be attached, right? So how do we attach the mind? We establish one of these four relationships with him. And we meditate on that deeply, feeling that he is more mine than anyone in this world. He alone is mine. When we love him, we have to have that feeling that as much as I love and depend on anyone in this world, I have to have even a deeper feeling of that for Shri Krishna. So this is number what? Was that number five? Okay. Number six. Ananyata. I could give just a whole lecture on this, so I'm going to have to make it concise, in gist. Ananyata is of three types. Ananyata means exclusiveness, exclusively dedicated to one only, no other, no anya. So three things, ananyata to the path, the guru, and one's ishtadev. Let's start with ishtadev. Bhagwan has many forms. They're all one internally. But to do devotion, we have to establish a relationship. We just talked about that. And in a relationship, love will develop if you focus all of your emotions towards that one form of God. If you're worshiping multiple forms of God, your emotions remain diffused. You can never develop the true feelings of bhakti. It just remains as a formality. So we have to choose one form of God. You make that choice based on the relationship you want. Shri Krishna offers the chance to love him with dasya sakhya vatsalya madhurya. So does Bhagwan Ram without the madhurya bhav option. And all other forms of God allow a fifth bhav, shant bhav, where you're like a subject loving his king, which is much more distant. So you make the choice based on how you would like to relate to God, what relationship you want in the divine world. And when you've made your choice, now don't confuse God. Yeah, he's thinking, okay, this person wants me to come to him in this form. Okay, oh wait, now he's worshiping me in this form. So does he want me to come in that form? You're only going to attain God in one form. Okay, he's never come to anybody in multiple forms. He comes in one form, nor did any saint ever teach to worship more than one form of God. Think of the history. Every saint had their ishtadev and they were exclusively devoted to that form of God. We respect all the forms of God, knowing that they are none other. If you're a devotee of Shri Krishna, you know Shivji is Shri Krishna. There's no difference, but you only worship Shri Krishna. See, last night we celebrated Shivratri and we sang all those bhajans made by Kripaluji Maharaj and we were worshipping Bhagwan Shiv, right? Yes. But what were we asking for? Dedo Krishna Prem. So that's how you maintain your ananyata even when you're worshipping another form or celebrating another form of God. You do full devotion to him and ask him for more bhakti to your ishtadev. So we dedicate ourselves to one form of God. Will other forms of God get annoyed, upset with you, stop gracing you, curse you? If you have that kind of fear, it means you haven't understood yet that God is one. So that means if you stop doing pujan to Bhagwan Shankar on Mondays because you only have so much time in your day and you use it to do Roop Dhyan of Shri Krishna instead, now Bhagwan Shankar is going to get upset with you. So that means Bhagwan Shankar is someone else than Shri Krishna. You're worshipping Shri Krishna, it means you're worshipping Bhagwan Shankar in the form of Shri Krishna. You don't have to alag alag se pujan ni karna hai. Oh, agyan hai. That's a real lack of understanding to think that we have to worship all the forms of God as if they're separate personalities. It's like if, let's say your husband went away for a business trip and every night you do some kind of pujan to his picture. Well, maybe you're not that traditional anymore. Let's say you did though. Karna chahiye. Kya hasna hai? Karna chahiye. Let's say he's dressed in a suit and tie. And you had another one of him in shorts and a t-shirt over on the side. And your husband comes home and he sees, what? You were doing pujan to my picture of me in a suit and tie? You put that shorts and t-shirt one on the side? Why didn't you do pujan to both my pictures? You'll say, what are you talking about? It's you. Of course, he won't have any objection. He's not going to say that. He'll say, you didn't put some other man there doing his pujan. It's just another picture of me, right? So, Shri Krishna, Shivji, Vishnu, Durga, they're not, unko koi itraj nahi hoga. Humko shayad pagal samajhte hain. Ki dekho, har roop mein kyon pujan kar rahe hain. So they're all one. So you choose one form. Now it's okay if you're not at that stage yet where you're doing bhakti to attain God. You're doing it as a formality, as a kind of good karma. Theek hai, sabka pujan karo. But if you're doing it to attain God, then you have to focus on one Ishtadev, leaving all others, respecting them, but focusing all of your time, energy, and emotions towards one form only. So that's Ishtadev. No problem with changing either. No one's going to have any problem with that. Problem isme hai. Bhagwan ke paas problem nahi hai. Now, ananyata for the path. I was describing that bhakti is supreme. So we don't have to mix in practices of other paths. In fact, we should just practice devotion and leave all the other practices if our goal is God realization. Then, of course, you have the question of progress. You can't walk on more than one path at a time. If you're walking down a path and it splits, can you walk both ways at once? No, you either walk this way or you walk that way. So follow one path. Stick to that. And don't keep changing. Follow one path properly and see what results you get. If you keep digging, you want to find water, you dig a well and you dig down 20 feet, you get no water, so you give up on that hole, you just start another hole, go down 20 feet, nothing. So again, you dig another hole somewhere else, you go down 10 feet, you hit rock there, you abandon that hole. You keep doing that your whole life, you never get water, because the water was at 30 feet depth. You dug for thousands of feet, but you never dug more than 20 feet in one location. So stick to your path and follow it wholeheartedly. And ananyata to guru. There could be hundreds of true gurus in the world who are real God-realized saints. So shouldn't we go and listen to all of them? No. Every saint, number one, will have attained a different form of God. So we'll be teaching devotion to the form of God they're representing. Number two, they're going to explain the philosophy slightly differently. So when you listen to the philosophy explained by different saints, even if they're explaining the same thing and both are correct, but there are going to be differences that will confuse you and you won't be able to reconcile them. You'll get confusions and questions and doubts, and that's going to be an impediment for you on your path. So you want to avoid all of that. Whoever is your guru, listen to him or her. Read what they write, listen to their lectures, follow what they teach. If you want to change gurus, fine. Change gurus. Just like God's forms don't have any kind of jealousy amongst them, saints are also internally one. So if you get more benefit from a different saint, you shouldn't think like, oh, but I got diksha from this saint. He gave me a mala. He gave me a mantra. He's my family's guru. How can I leave him? Saint, a true saint would have no objection. A fake saint would have an objection. A fake saint may say, if you ever leave me, I'll curse you. A true saint would have no objection. Oh, you're getting more benefit? Go over there. That's good. Wholeheartedly go. So, we don't have durbhavana. We don't have any kind of ill feelings towards anybody, even if we believe them to be a fake saint. We respect all of them, or at least be neutral. But just follow one guru. I'm telling you, if you want real progress on the path, There's no punishment for ignoring this advice. But if you want to really progress quickly on the path, you have to be ananya to your Ishtadev, to the path, and to the guru who is teaching you, who's showing you this path. And by guru, I also don't mean just anybody. That guru has to be a God-realized saint. So in our case, we remain ananya to Jagadguru Shri Kripaluji Maharaj. Whether we've met him or we haven't met him, he is the guru of Radha Madhav Dham, Jagadguru Kripalu Parishat, Radha Govinda Dham. So we follow him. We follow his teachings. If you're not at that stage yet, it's okay. But this is for maximum acceleration on the path. If that's what you'd like, then you can keep all of this advice in mind. So ananyata was the sixth. What was the one before that? Okay. Yes, that's right. Bhakti is supreme or independent. And the one before that? No, we missed one.
We attach to Bhagwan, we love Bhagwan Krishna, and sense without his godliness.
There. We don't love God, right? We have to use one of the four bhav to remove his godliness. That in Raganuga Bhakti, that's what we do. So before that was Bhakti is independent. Before that was Nishkamta. Before that was Ahituki. Before that, mind alone does Bhakti. Okay. What's left? Number seven, Roop Dhyan. We have to do Roop Dhyan. Roop Dhyan is a tool on the path of bhakti. So it has to be employed daily. We have to close our eyes, picture Radha, Krishna, think of their leelas, make up a new leela if we want. Think of them in modern dress, traditional dress. Think of them in their divine world. Think of them in this material world. Doesn't matter, as long as we're thinking of them. And we battle with our mind. Mind goes in the world, we bring it back. Mind doesn't feel like doing Roop Dhyan, we scold our mind. Tell it, you've taken the time out to sit here to do devotion, at least do it properly. Make the effort to do Roop Dhyan. Maharaji says, pratigya karlo. That I, and when I sit to do devotion, I'm going to do it with full effort. Even if it's hard, make your mind do Roop Dhyan. Eventually it gets easier the more you practice. But Roop Dhyan is one of the, it's like the engine of the devotional practice. Through practicing Roop Dhyan, we get more devotional experiences, actually. The real heightened experiences or intense experiences that inspire us, that we're really getting somewhere on the path, and there's so much more that we can get in the future. Those experiences come when we sit and do Roop Dhyan. Of course, along with Kirtan is the recommended way to do it. So Roop Dhyan has to be practiced every day as a karma sannyasi. Leaving all worldly activities, sitting in a quiet place, putting on some kirtan or doing live chanting yourself, and just doing Roop Dhyan. And while we do Roop Dhyan, we remember our bhav, Madhuri Vatsalya Sakhya Dasya, so that has to be there with the Roop Dhyan, and practice. Number eight, Nirantar. Devotion must be constant, which means that we're not only practicing bhakti during that time when we sit and do Roop Dhyan. Because bhakti is not a formality to be completed. Like, okay, I sat from 6 a.m. to 7 a.m. and I did Roop Dhyan. Now I'm good until tomorrow morning. Some practices are like that, right? Okay, I did yoga. I did 1 hour of asana. I'll do more tomorrow, but now I'm done for the day. I don't do 24 hours a day yoga. Same thing with karmakand. Bas ho gaya sandhya. I said the mantras, I did the rituals. Bas ho gaya until next time. Bhakti is not like that. Raganuga bhakti is continuous because it's loving attachment of the mind. Do you love your son or daughter or husband or wife or mother or father according to a pre-timed schedule? That I will love them between these hours and forget about them between these hours? No. When you love someone, they're always in your mind. So Shri Krishna should always be in your mind as well. Even if now we're not at that level because our mind is actually not that attached to him, so we don't naturally remember him all day long, but we should understand that that is the goal. We have to keep practicing Rup Dhyan every day until we get to the point where our attachment has grown so deep that he never leaves our mind. We always feel that attachment. We remember our relationship with him and we always feel him near us. We get to that stage if we practice Rup Dhyan every day. So Shri Maharaj also says, until we get to that stage, just adopt a couple of techniques at certain intervals throughout your day, every 60 minutes or 30 minutes or 15 minutes. Set an alarm on your watch or your phone and stop what you're doing for 5 seconds and remember that Shri Krishna is with you, and then go back to your work. So until we get to that level of natural, unbroken remembrance, apratihata, Bhagavatam says, avichinnam, Naradji says, until we get to that level, we have to adopt some of these techniques to remind us of Shri Krishna throughout the day. When you have a few minutes free, even though it's not your set sadhana time where you sit and do Rup Dhyan, but you have 5 minutes, close your eyes and do Radhe breathing. Radhe, Radhe, and do Rup Dhyan for a few minutes if you have a break. So in this way we try to remember Radha and Krishna throughout the day. This is Nirantarta, unbroken remembrance. It's also called Karma Yoga. So we practice Karma Sannyas, doing Ekantvala, Vali Sadhana, where we sit alone, or even if it's in a group, it's away from worldly activities. And we do Karma Yoga Vali Sadhana, remembering Radha Krishna and Guru throughout the day. So that was number 8. There are 2 more. Kusang Se Bachana, that's number 9. Avoid kusang, avoid bad association. Bad association can be kind of like a casual bad association, like your neighbor or a colleague at work just, you know, comes and wants to talk to you and they're just gossiping aimlessly about someone else. During that time, your mind could be in God. And instead, this person is taking it and usko dubari hai sansar mein. So avoid, if at all possible, avoid that type of worldly association where it's just paltu. It's worse than paltu because you're bringing others' gandagi into your mind. That is more like a casual bad association or kusang. A much more serious type of kusang is if someone is saying something negative about Raganuga Bhakti, Bhagwan Shri Krishna, your guru. Thinking that, saying it or listening to it or reading it in a book, online, from somebody's mouth, that's extremely bad kusang. Because it goes directly in here and creates a block. It's like an instant thing you can feel. And it restricts the grace. So you were receiving grace because your heart was open to receive it. And now that you heard that, your heart went like that. Now you can't, now your experiences are gone because you closed your heart now. So that type of kusang is also called namaparad or spiritual transgression because we thought something bad against God and Guru. There's nothing worse than that. So that type of thing should be avoided at all costs. We have to keep our anukulena. We have to keep our mind always positively thinking about God, Guru, Bhakti. Should never allow even for a second a negative thought to come. If it comes, just like forcefully on its own, realize it, control it, and replace it with a positive thought. Even if you have a doubt, just say, okay, the doubt is there, set it aside, I'll deal with it later. When my experience level improves, when my knowledge level improves, I'll understand automatically. Why worry myself about it right now? Set it aside. Keep your mind positive. If you want to progress, if you want to lose a valuable thing, if you want to lose the chance to make major progress on the path to God, then be careless. Oh, what are you saying? Oh, really? Aisa hai? Then go down that road. And if you want to really progress towards God, because there's all kinds of people in the world, saints get attacked by all kinds of people, physically attacked, verbally attacked. So there's all kinds of people. There are devotees and there are the opposite of devotees. And the opposite of devotees like to oppose true saints, oppose God, say bad things about God, about God's lilas, about God's saints. So avoid that. Know that it's extremely damaging to your own devotion and avoid it. So this kusang se bachana is extremely important. And the last thing, yasya deve para bhaktir yatha deve tatha gurau tasyaite kathita hyartha prakashyante mahatmanah. Shvetashvatropanishad says, if you want to attain God in this life, then not only do bhakti to God, but do bhakti to your guru. Yasya deve tatha gurau. Yatha deve tatha gurau. Exactly the way you worship God, worship your guru. So I'm, again, not talking about me. I'm talking about a true guru, Kripaluji Maharaj. Again, not everybody is at that level. Some of you might be hearing this for the first time. But I'm saying when you get everything aligned, like, oh yes, I want to practice this Raganuga Bhakti and I want to do Madhuri Bhav devotion to Radha Krishna and I want to be Ananya. There's another piece that might be missing. Even if you have all the knowledge, you're practicing everything correctly. What is it called when you have, you want a chemical reaction and you put all the required ingredients, a catalyst? So if you don't put the catalyst in, the reaction doesn't take place. So there's a catalyst required. That's Guru's grace. You can say Guru Bhakti. The Guru's grace is such an important catalyst that even if we know the process of Rup Dhyan and we know all these conditions of Bhakti and we're trying to follow it, but in our heart we don't have that Guru Bhakti, the true devotion will not grow in the heart. The guru is important. Shri Krishna says, tadvidhi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya upadekchanti te jnanam jnaninas tattvadarshinah. If you want to know me, you have to come through the guru. You have to pranipatena, fully surrender to the Guru. The topic of Guru is a whole other week-long session, but, you know, we have this many times hesitation to surrender to a Guru. Yet, in the world, we have no such hesitation. We surrender to our spouse. We surrender to the doctor. We surrender to the mechanic. Wherever there's an expert in a field that we're unfamiliar with, or wherever there's someone who has something we want, like happiness, we surrender. We become Sharanagat. We follow whatever the doctor is saying. We set our buddhi aside, or we join our buddhi with the doctor's buddhi. We join our intellect with the mechanic's intellect. Yes, Guruji, whatever you say. And yet, when a true spiritual guide comes, then we feel like running the other way. Oh, I'm supposed to surrender? What? We hum log naak ragadte hain paapi sansari jeevon ke aage aur bhagwat prapt mahapurush ke aage sharanagat nahi ho sakte. This is only because of the impure condition of our heart. The more pure the heart is, the more simple it is. There's no question, it's just natural. You want to surrender to the saint. The saint knows that we're all starting from a different position and helps us progress, no matter what our level of surrender is. Even if we're coming to him with this kind of attitude, like, just let me see, how is he? I've heard so much. Or, you know, let me just listen to a little. It's even someone who comes like that, the saint will help them from where they are. But we should know, if we really want speedy progress on the path, the same feelings of loving surrender we have for Shri Krishna, we should also have for the true Guru. Try it and see, is all I can say. Try it and see. If you want real progress, bring the true Guru into your heart as well. At least acknowledge that whatever progress and feelings you've developed on this path, whatever you have gained, is all because of Guru's grace. Know that. Start from there. Think of all the knowledge we've received from Kripaluji Maharaj. What someone couldn't glean from our scriptures in thousands of lifetimes, he's distilled and fed to us in bite-sized forms that even children can understand and practice. Think of how lucky we are. So from the point of view of knowledge, from the point of view of devotion, devotional material, just start there with that kind of gratitude, and gradually you can develop more feelings of surrender and love. It's something you have to practice and experience for yourself. Once you try it and you get the actual experience, it all makes sense. You say, oh, when I do Roop Dhyan on Kripaluji Maharaj, that really elevates my devotional experience even more. You'll see for yourself. So just like the food, if the food tastes good, you want to eat more, right? So when you practice something and you get good results, you say, oh, that's why they're saying to do that. I was so scared of doing Guru Bhakti, but look at the internal results I'm getting. So then you understand what it's all about, and all those doubts and reservations, they start fading away. So all of this advice that I'm giving to you here tonight, this is merely advice. It's something for you to take note of and keep in mind so that you can analyze your own progress and see if I want to go more quickly on the path. You can see, am I doing all of these 10 things? All 10 have to be in place for swift progress. If you're not ready and you just want to, wherever you are, you're maybe implementing a few of them, your progress won't be as fast, but that's okay. Whatever you're ready for, you do that. There's no punishment for not doing it. There's no consternation or, you know, unacceptance from anyone for whatever your level is. So this, none of what I said tonight should be taken as any kind of order or, you know, something that you need to be afraid of. It's just things to keep in mind. And if you want to progress more quickly, then you can apply them and see the benefits for yourself. So let's have one last review, and then we'll wrap things up. So let's start from number one. Number one was? Okay, number two? Which means?
Unconditional.
Yes. Yeah, unconditional. Number three?
Nishkamta.
Nishkamta, which means? Yeah, don't ask for anything from God. Just love Him for His happiness. Desire to serve Him for His happiness. Number four? Swatantra. That's right. Bhakti is independent, supreme. Number five? Relations. That's right. Bhagwan ki bhagwatta ko nikal kar pyar karo. And for that we use one of the four bhav. That's right, that's the next one, ananyata. So one ishtadev, one path, one guru. Number seven, rup dhyan. That's right. Number eight, nirantar. Number nine, that's right. And number ten, guru bhakti. That's right. And please keep in mind, guru bhakti is not for me. Yeah. That meri bahut badi bhool hogi if I give the impression that anyone should attach their mind to me. No one should think of me as anything more than like a dilapidated signpost pointing in the general direction of the path. So when I speak of Guru, I speak of Kripaluji Maharaj only. So these are the 10 conditions of the path of bhakti. I hope this helps you on your path. Bolo Vrindavan Bihari Lal ki, Jagat Guru Shri Kripaluji Maharaj ki, Jai Jai Shri Radhe, Jai Jai Shri Radhe, Jai Jai Shri Radhe.